The name Harry Mulisch might not carry the resonance of Stephen King or Joyce Carol Oates, but in the realm of contemporary literature, few novelists can claim the breadth of his following. The Dutch writer's works have been translated into 35 languages. He's often mentioned as a candidate for the Nobel Prize in Literature. Mulisch's latest novel is called Siegfried. Frank Browning has this profile.
Siegfried is the fictional child of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun. The boy's identity was never known beyond a tiny circle of the Nazi elite. Mulisch created Siegfried, at least in part, to come to terms with the enigma of Adolf Hitler.
This man, he loved his dog, but he had his dog killed. He loved his Eva Braun. He had her killed. So I thought, can I put him in a situation in which it comes out that there is something okay with him? And so, okay, the dog, the Eva, but suppose he had a child, and he would love this child. And now somebody tells him the child is 1/32 part Jewish. What would he do? So I give him a chance.
Harry Mulisch's Austrian father spent 3 years in a Dutch prison for collaborating with the Nazis. His Jewish mother lost her entire family in the extermination campaigns. Adolf Hitler, his character, his personality, his personal magnetism, has long puzzled Mulisch.
I was always fascinated by this man, even my mother. My mother, when she was 85 years old in San Francisco, I came to her birthday, I came every year over to San Francisco, and she said that she had yesterday seen a film about Hitler, and she was spellbound. This was the words she used. A Jewish woman, mother, grandmother, her friends, all killed here in the Holocaust, tells me she was spellbound. So what was that in that man? My mother was not a Nazi, but that even she felt this thing, which she called spellbound, and what all the Germans felt already in 1932. That's why he came to power, because he was spellbound.
Siegfried is essentially a parable about the capacity for creating monsters, or for not being able in a way to live without the monstrous as a dimension of modern life.
The English writer and critic Paul Binding sees Siegfried as simply the latest installment in Mulisch's lifelong fascination with the genius of evil.
Mulisch's obsession with the capacity of the human brain to make things up and to affect the lives of other people is unbelievably and terrifyingly intense. And I suppose this is one of the sort of dark threads of Mulisch's imagination, which inevitably, one responds to with fear and admiration.
Yet for Harry Mulisch, writing was more or less an accident.
I wanted to be a biologist. I was 14 years old. And I read all these things and out chemistry, and like a lot of boys do. I turned out to be a writer because I suddenly sat down and wrote a story. And then I was about 18, 19 years old. But I always read all these books about black holes and astronomy, but just for fun, like somebody else would read a detective story or something.
Today, Mulisch approaches the creative question as a scientist or a detective might. Do writers create stories, or do stories already exist? And writers, who are after all elements in those stories, serve only as decoders of reality, much like scientists. If Mulisch's novels are always concerned with the abstractions of physics and metaphysics, they're also driven by the confusions of having been a half-Jewish boy growing up in Holland during World War II.
My parents were divorced. I lived in Haarlem, city in the neighborhood of Amsterdam, with my father. Not with my mother. And I was so busy with my scientific adventures that they hardly noticed that they killed half of my family. It sounds horrible, but it is true that I was sitting there doing my experiments. And it's not because I have such an ugly character, because I have. But this is not a sign of my ugly character. You didn't know. Where's my grandma? You know, the Germans, the Jews, oh yes, of course, she went. Oh, well, let's hope the best, that they come back after the war.
They didn't. Mulisch's father went to prison. His mother emigrated to San Francisco. And the young man was on his own to decide where he should go. He stayed in Holland, he says, simply because Dutch was the language in which he felt most at home, the tool he was learning to use to decode the world and discover a place for himself in it. Critic Paul Binding says Harry Mulisch's life and work are inseparable from the last half century of European history.
Harry Mulisch's most famous two sayings that he said that he is the Second World War, and he said that the Second World War will never end until somebody decides to call a child Adolf, not realizing what the significance of the word Adolf is. That will mean that the whole thing has come to an end. And in a sense, those two statements don't only apply to Mulisch, but apply to hundreds of thousands of people in European countries. In that sense, I think that you realize he is a spokesman for them all.
If Harry Mulisch takes recent European history as the laboratory for his fiction, it is not in Europe that he feels most at home.
First time that I felt that I belonged to something was in New York, where there are a lot of people in my situation. There I felt I belonged to the group of people who belong to nothing. They belong to each other. The people who don't belong to anything. Or sitting in New York being a Greek or a Jew or a Russian or what. Do they belong to America, to Russia? You see?
Belonging and not belonging. These are notions that also run through Siegfried, a German population that allowed itself to be sucked into the collective nihilism of Hitler's dream, and a child whose existence exemplified the outsiderliness of each single soul. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.